Does the Holy Spirit sometimes point us away from the gentler traits to the sterner ones? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm Alden Thompson, your host and study guide author, and we continue our series on the Holy Spirit and spirituality. My conversation partners are Jen Ogden, Associate Pastor of the Walla Walla University Church, and Paul Dibdall, the Walla Walla University School of Theology. Now, which fruits of the Spirit? Well, now, we need to remember, first of all, that it's not fruits in Galatians.
It's fruit. Singular.
It's fruit, which is all those characteristics. But still, we kind of tend to separate them out. Well, we can talk traits of the fruit of the Spirit. Got to be juicy and sweet and all that kind of stuff. No, but which fruit of the Spirit, if we could use them in an individual sense, which one's most important for you? Is it always the one first on the list? Galatians, it's love, joy, peace,
patience,
generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control.
I learned them. I memorized them in the New International Version. They're what? Really, really close.
They're very but one different, right?
Yeah.
Generosity is the one that gets.
Yeah. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Goodness replaces generosity in that one. Yeah.
You asked what? Which one is most?
Yeah, which one's
significant?
You know, the problem that I find with love, it is so amorphous.
Yeah.
And so overused.
Mm. Yeah.
I think the traits appeal to me at different points. You know, different ones stand out. If I'm dealing with something on a personal level or a character trait that I know is not godly, it's not holy, it's not great, and, you know, I'm asking to be made more Christ-like, which is the work of the Spirit in me, to represent God in me. You know, I deal with different things at different issues. Sometimes, you know, I'm struggling with the things I'm choosing to expose myself to and to invite into my life. So I need to ask for self-control. And so I think it changes which one seems more significant to me as to what I'm experiencing at that point.
But now when you have someone who is too controlled, do you feel it a gift of the Spirit to try to loosen them up a bit?
I don't think it's my job to loosen people up. I'm convinced that the Spirit has its work, and it works in each of us individually.
Oh,
but
yes,
I
but
don't
the Spirit
control
works through
the
people.
I agree, but it's not to change others.
Paul, you would agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
I was very nervous there for a second.
There must be something that you're...
Well, it seems to me that we ought to be aware that whatever we do has an effect on other people.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And that we need to make the decision. Am I going to nudge this person this way or this way?
Mm.
Person who is way too exuberant, I will probably try and find gentle ways to bring them back down to earth. The one who is too earthbound, I try to loosen them up.
Yeah, I mean, but there is a danger there, isn't there? You said the one that is too exuberant. Well, that's going to be your standard, you know, that they're too exuberant. Are they actually too exuberant? That's the question.
But let me press you on that, Paul. You make those decisions all the time with people that you meet.
Of course.
We all make those subconscious. This person is too much of this and not enough of this or whatever.
We may make that, that may be our thought process, but does that mean that we are duty-bound to communicate that to them and try to correct them? I think that's a different question.
Probably what we ought to do is to do the very best not to communicate our – I mean, I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think when there's somebody who's pushing our buttons, we have to remember that patience is the fruit of the Spirit.
And it is on every single New Testament virtue list.
Mm-hmm.
Patience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
And the interesting thing about it is anger is not on any of them. There's only one passage in the New Testament. Now you go to the Old Testament, there's anger everywhere. But in the New Testament, there's only one, Ephesians 4:25-27. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Out of my own times of anger, I realize that that one is probably what I would call the anger of communication.
Hmm.
Graham Greene has an interesting tale in which he puts in the mouth of one of his characters, in her experience, it was only when a man became angry that he told the truth. And this passage you just read is truth-telling. But There's one from Blake while we're talking about angry. This is again from C.S. Lewis' Letters to Malcolm. C.S. Lewis' Letters to Malcolm that I quoted earlier in this quarter. I was angry with my friend. I told my wrath did end. I was angry with my foe. I told it not, my wrath did grow. So there is a place to get it out of the system. Usually it's better to go out in the woods where nobody's listening and let her rip. Because if you try to button it up, it comes out in so many potentially terrible ways.
Mm-hmm. I think the wrestling with anger but sinning not, right? That's the tough part, is that we allow our emotions often to get the best of us. I know that that's a huge issue for me. And so it's, what do you do with that when you are wrestling with anger or bitterness or hurt or dissatisfaction? How do you wrestle with those without sinning, without violating those principles of God, and without, you know, destroying the work of the Holy Spirit in you or in the person you're communicating with?
Yeah, yeah. Well, one of the stories, and I'm intrigued with this because I think I have much too an austere face, even though I have a lot of fun in life. You know, my wife every once in a while will put her finger over my, you know, the wrinkles in my, you know, and try to smooth it out to make it. And there's this funny time, Jen, this is probably you when you work with kids, because you know how we put the people on the up front in church to sit among the kids to try to keep the kids under control?
Yeah.
Number of months ago, I was on the platform, and so I went down there and sat with them trying to look pleasant and nice. And two little girls came walking up. One each different father, they took one look at me and burst into tears and ran back.
Yes, children, they're a good judge of character, aren't
yeah,
they?
Are a tremendous judge of character. But I've thought of Jesus because there's one story in Matthew where Jesus cleansed the temple. And I like this line that Jesus didn't kill anyone, and as someone said, when he attacked the furniture, he didn't. When Jesus cleansed the temple, he attacked the furniture, not the people. And there's one there that when Jesus got angry, the most amazing way of being angry, because the children all came running and the evil people fled. I would give anything to be angry like that. Because usually children are the first ones to head for the hills, you know, when adults get angry. But somehow Jesus' anger was different. So now, there's another aspect of this lesson, the fruit of the Spirit. Well, maybe we ought to spend a little more time on the fruit of the Spirit. And let's read those again from Galatians. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
One of the things about the list that strikes me is that there's one of these that I would want to experience. And then there's some that are things that I need to practice. So when I look at the list, I would love to have joy. I would love to have peace. You know, I want that in my life. I want the Holy Spirit to provide that for me. But the things that I need to practice, you know, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, the last part of the list are more virtues that I need help on. And I'm not sure if that's the right way to read the list, but there's kind of a transition there. Love, joy, peace. Oh, yes, I want all those feelings.
See, that getting now next week's lesson, and this is a pain next week because they try to distinguish between the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm not sure that we can.
Yeah, so maybe I'm borrowing too much from
next week. I mean, I think it's an issue because of what we are. I mean, it reflects, you know, and I think in the face in particular, and that's why I worry about my face.
I had someone write, well, this was when I was a pastor, someone who wrote what was intended to be a encouraging note to me, and it was along the lines, said, you don't smile very much, but, you know, but you're really a nice person, or I forget the last part of it, which was a compliment. I remember being struck and kind of discouraged by that first, even, you know, you don't smile very much, but you're still okay. You know, it's kind of a message. I thought I need to, that should change for me. I don't know if it has.
Well, I think sometimes we do think of love and joy and peace as gifts rather than as something we can also practice. You know, mm-hmm. I tend to be a little bit of a pot stirrer. I know this is shocking to both of you, but I like to see things done and to see things move. And sometimes that causes ripples. And I'm not always good at making peace.
I've got a good quote for you.
Oh, I like it.
Goethe. The man of action or the woman of action is always ruthless. No one has a conscience but an observer.
Mercy.
Oh, yeah.
So if you try to get something done, there will be bodies.
Yeah. But I have to also practice that in my desire to change and to grow and to see things move forward, that peace is something that's, you know, blessed are the peacemakers. Yep. That's part of this whole gift of the Spirit as well.
But using the different traits in a different way, I think of the last verse in 1 Corinthians 4. I use this all the time in teaching, where Paul says, shall I come to you with stick or with love and the spirit of gentleness? Now, when I try that on students, if a student is falling behind and say, do you want me to come to you with love or with a stick or with love? About 70% of the students say, no, stick, Thompson. But about 30% say, well, I need the stick. Bring it on, see.
Mm-hmm.
And Ellen White once used the phrase, the cruel kindness, mm-hmm. which is a fascinating one. So if you are kind, then you become, what's the technical term in social services where somebody becomes a, think of the word.
Enabler.
That's what I'm,
okay, see. Sure. I think C.S. Lewis calls it a severe mercy.
Severe mercy.
A severe mercy, that kindness that changes but is also merciful.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
different people relate. I mean, Alden, you just said the same thing with your illustration. For some people, they need encouragement to change. Some people need discipline to help them to change.
Yeah.
And discipline in the more, you know, in a negative kind of way.
Yeah.
And may the Lord help us know. But I think, how best to help others.
You know,
this
fruit of the Spirit list is a wonderful, you mentioned you'd done NIV, and so it's goodness instead of generosity. But I love to be able to go through this mind, just, you know, this list, and simply say, this I'd like to have, this I need to practice, and so on. And what's striking on that one, and I'll tuck this one here as the clock ticks down, the works of the flesh.
Mm.
If you look at the works of the flesh, it's not just the sexual ones. Man, it's amazing. Enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy. Man, those are just, that's all sins of the flesh. That's what we struggle with all the time. But our time is up. Next week we're going to talk about gifts of the Spirit. That will be tantalizing. My thanks to both of you. My thanks to Jared Miller, our program engineer, and to all of you for listening in. For The Good Word, I'm Alden Thompson.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.